the name of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow one day, and every tongue shall confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm not going to wait on the world. I'm not going to wait on everyone else. I'm going to bow now, because he is worthy of all of our praise. There is no other name by which man might be saved. Our salvation, our healing, our redemption, our restoration, everything that we need is in him. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the darkness trembles. Hallelujah. The world knows of him, but they don't know him like we know him. His name is Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. That's who we praise. That's who we worship. Our God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have your seats. So good to see all of you here this Sunday morning. And I'm thankful, as always, for another opportunity to share God's word. Thank you, Lord. If you have not had an opportunity to give this morning, please take time to do that. We definitely need your support. Be obedient to whatever God leads you to do. There are several ways to give, so be mindful of that. Before I begin, I'm just going to ask that you bow with me as I pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to humble myself, my heart, my entire being before you right now, so that you can use me as a vessel to share your word. I ask, Lord God, we ask collectively, God, that you would just open every heart and every mind in this building, and even those watching online, God, to receive what you have for us today. We ask, Lord God, that all the money that comes forth in the manner of tithes and or offering, Lord God, be multiplied to meet the needs of this ministry and the many ministries that we support. We thank you for it, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So I know most of you that attend here regularly, you know that I sing on the praise and worship team. And I came from a singing household. My mother sang. And as a family, my dad, brother, and sister, and I, we used to travel and sing at times, you know, at different churches and functions. And a lot of the songs that we sang were old school, what you would consider old school Southern gospel songs. And I just happened to be singing around the house, and a certain song came to mind. And it just stayed in my spirit. And I didn't sing the words, but the song was in my spirit. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and singing the song that had been on my heart that entire day. I'm not sure if you're familiar with our brother and sister Bill and Gloria Gaither, but they probably wrote 600-700 songs over time. A lot of old school songs that a lot of people may be familiar with. There's Something About the Name Jesus is one of those songs. And another song is He Chose Me. Hallelujah. He Touched Me, is the name of the song. But the song that came to mind that stayed in my spirit all day was Because He Lives. That was the name of the song. And when I thought about why the Lord had that song on my heart all day, it was because of my personal things that I had been going through, my family and I. Not just our immediate family, but, you know, extended family members going through things. The chaos that's going on in the world right now. And it led me to look up the history on the song. I had no idea. I knew who the authors were, like I said, because I grew up singing a lot of their songs. But I didn't know the story behind the song. Bill and Gloria Gaither were expecting their third child. The song was written in 1971. They were expecting their third child. And there was a lot of angst, and there was a lot of I guess, fear and worry because of what they would be bringing this child into. That was the Vietnam War was still going on. There was a lot of political unrest, social unrest in the environment at that time. And the words to that song, "Because He Lives," came out of that turmoil, came out of their worry, came out of that fear. If you've ever heard the song, it says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives." And that's the chorus of the song, but it made me understand and realize why. I don't even know the last time I sang the words to that song, but I know it. But the Lord dropped that in my heart and in my spirit because of the trouble that I was personally going through, the trouble that my family is going through, the turmoil in the world right now. We know that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. God spoke about the things that have come to pass and that are even coming to pass right now. But we can have hope today, church, in our future and in the things to come. Not because of us, not because of our money, not because of our status, not because of the power we think we might have, but it's because He lives. So today, I just want to spend a little time explaining and using the word of God to remind you of what He had to remind me of. In John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." This verse in John, he's trying to prepare the disciples for what is coming. There's a lot of unsure. They don't know what's going on. They're concerned. And His response to their fear and their worry and their questions is, "Because I live, He lives." Because He lives, we do not have to live in fear. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Fear, fear. The song lyrics say, "All fear is gone." It should be gone, but it's not. The enemy uses fear as a tool, as a weapon to distract us, to divide us, to distort our vision, and to move our sight from our Savior, our source, to the situation that we're in. Fear is designed to cripple you, to break you down, to bring confusion, to bring doubt in your life and in your circumstance. So we know that that didn't come from the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us of that. God said, "I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." We fear about a lot of things. We fear over the future. What if this? What if that? There are times in my life that I'm working out these scenarios in my head. What if this happens? What if that happens? But I can't allow fear to grip my heart. I may have a moment of fear, but I can't live in that. I have to let faith take over. See, fear has a voice, but faith does also. And it comes through God's word. It comes through scripture and focusing on the promises of God. Just like in the wilderness, Jesus fought Satan and everything he threw everything at him, but he fought him. He responded with God's word. So He led by example for us, so that when the enemy tries to bring fear in your life about your circumstance or about what the future holds, you can go to God's word. In Jeremiah 29:11, God is in my past, He is in my present, and He is in my future. He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. An expected end. The thoughts I have of peace and not evil. not evil. God means peace for us, not evil, to give us an expected end. Maybe you're not concerned about the future today. Maybe you've got a handle on that. But maybe you're concerned about provision. How is God going to provide in this situation? When I was a young girl, I don't remember how old, maybe second or third grade, my dad, being the good Samaritan that he's always been, pulled over on the side of the road to help someone that was stranded. And I believe it was a Friday because it was payday. Back then, they didn't have direct deposit. So he had an actual paper check that he didn't even think about leaving in his truck to help them get their vehicle started. Well, somewhere in between helping them and them maybe getting in his truck to start the truck to boost their vehicle, someone stole his check. And my parents, you know, like some of us have lived throughout our life, some of us are living now, lives paycheck to paycheck, and they struggled. So from my dad's good deed that he tried to do, we ended up being homeless because they didn't have the money to pay the rent. And I'm sure my parents struggled in their mind, what are we going to do now? We lived temporarily with family and friends, and God made a way for us. He's always going to provide. What does his word say? Whether I don't think I have enough, how can I provide for my family? What can I do? I lost my job. God knows our every single need. He tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, but instead to keep him first, to seek him first. And he would supply all those things. But my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So often we move in our strength, in our power, and what we think we possess, not realizing that at any moment you could lose every single thing that you have. And if your faith is in those material things instead of the God that blessed you with those things, you're going to be in a mess. So because he lives, not only do we not have to fear, but we don't have to be concerned about provision because, as we just read, he knows our needs and he will supply those by his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Failure. I've lived most of my life fearing failure. One of those people who made straight A's, very type A personality, wanting to be controlled in every part of my life. So in those times when I didn't quite make the mark, the enemy used that to beat me up so badly. We fail every day. In some way or another, we're going to fall short. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the enemy takes that and makes us think that because we messed up, because we fell short, that we're somehow not worthy of God. We're not worthy of his salvation. We're not worthy of his grace. In Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So even when we are unfaithful in our walk with the Lord, even when we fall short, and we do, I do, God is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us. His word says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from not some, but all unrighteousness. Because even on my best day, even on your best day, your righteousness is as filthy rags. So we have to depend on him for that cleansing, for that purging. I thank God every morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his forgiveness. Without it, we would all be lost. So don't allow the enemy to bring fear over you because of your failures, because we all fail. But we serve a perfect God. And he died on that cross for all of our sin, past, present, and future. And knowing about all of our failures, God still sent his son. So don't allow fear of your failure to keep you from relationship with the Lord. Our circumstances. My papa used to say, either you're coming out of a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're about to go into one. That saying is always something. And it is. It is. I know I'm not the only one. It's always something. Seems like it's always some type of circumstance. And we tend to put God in a box and say, oh, I trust God with these little bitty things over here. But I'm not going to trust him with the big things because he can't handle this. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who God truly is. In the middle of our circumstances, we have to remember who he is. Because he overcame, we can overcome. Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What is your circumstance today? What is your situation that you feel like God is not hearing your prayer when you pray? You know you can't handle it and you can't do it on your own, but you don't have the faith to trust him to work that situation out for you. Don't allow fear of circumstance to separate you from the Lord, to bring